You know, tomorrow, in case you have forgotten, tomorrow is July 1st. And for me, July is the beginning of summer. Now, I know June is supposed to be, and it's been plenty hot in June. Amen to that. But July is the month that brings on all the feels of summer, right? I mean, it starts off with a bang, literally, with the 4th of July. I mean, in our household growing up, that was when you actually finally started to barbecue outside and you cranked homemade ice cream in July. And we had birthday celebrations and anniversaries. This week will mark Denise and I's 14th anniversary together. She's amazed that I remember, but I do remember it. And it will mark my 41st anniversary as a pastor. So I'm kind of happy about that, too. So it's kind of amazing. But July is also traditionally those times when you have things like Bible school and you go to baseball games. And there's hot days. When it cools off at night, it's just nice to go out and look at the stars, is it not? I mean, that's July for me. So that, for me, July is the beginning of summer. But July is also a time for me that I remember celebrating my grandfather's passing. It happened in between birthdays and celebration of 4th of July. And so this week was kind of getting me nostalgic as I was thinking about those things. And I was remembering him, and I wasn't remembering him with the sorrow of his passing. I was remembering him with the joy that he kind of was to me, you know? He was my older grandfather of the two, quite a bit older than the other one. And he was a Ford dealer. All right, he owned a Ford dealership, that's why I drive Ford still today. And a little town of 650 people, if you can imagine it, he sold cars, pickups, trucks, ambulances, school buses, and over-the-road trucks from Omaha to Kansas City, and they, in that little town of 650 people, they would unload two transports of cars every week. He was a good salesman. He was a good salesman. So I remember those things about him. But what I remember most is when it would get really hot, there were two things that I learned about him. One, he never worked in his garden unless it was at least 100. Because that was when weeds die. I tried to tell him that's when everything dies. But he didn't listen to that, you know. And the other thing was, on those really hot days, he would come pick me up. And he would dig some worms out of his garden, and we would get a ring of bologna, if you remember rings of bologna, a package of saltine crackers, a water jug, and fishing poles and lawn chairs, and we would go out and fish for bullhead. That was his fish of choice. And during that time, he taught me patience. If you can imagine a little kid sitting there waiting for something to bite, you know, we had good conversations. He taught me how to fish. I didn't know that's really what I was learning. You know, I didn't really know any of that. I just wanted to be with him. I just wanted to spend time with him. And if it meant sweating things out and eating bologna, that was fine. If it meant waiting and for long periods of time before something pulled the bobber under, that was fine. I just wanted to be with him. And being with him, I learned a lot of things. You know, I learned not just how to fish, but I learned how to be a person like he was. A person that was a person of integrity, I think. A person that other people looked up to, a person that I looked up to him. You know, I just wanted to be like him. I think about those first disciples whenever they first started following Jesus. They had no idea what they were getting into. Amen? They didn't know what they were going to learn. They didn't know where they were going to go. They didn't know any of those things. But they just saw something in Jesus. They just saw something about Jesus that they wanted in their life. Agreed? Have you ever just seen somebody from a distance, just saw or heard something in somebody speaking that you just said, oh, there's somebody I want to get to know, right? There's somebody I want to know more about. And that's why I think that Jesus was for those disciples in that initial kind of calling. They just saw something in him that they knew they needed in their life. They wanted a relationship with him. They wanted to hang out with him. That was Jesus. And John, one of those disciples that followed the beloved disciple, tells the story of following Jesus in those days. And he tells it in the first letter of John. In the first letter of John, in verse 1 and following, but he begins by just saying, from the very first day. From the moment they met him, they knew. From the moment they saw him, they knew something was different. There was something about him. There was something that happened to them. There was something that was special. From the very first day, we were there. Taking it all in, he says. We heard it with our own ears. We saw it with our own eyes. We verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. Whew. Man, that had to be a moment, did it not? We saw it happen. And now we're telling you, in a most sober prose, that what we witnessed was incredibly this: the infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it. It took place right in front of us. We were there, taking it all in. We heard it, we verified it, and we're telling you that God himself came and was with us. Did you hear that? We're telling you, God himself was with us. Imagine if you were somebody who had given up on God. Imagine if you were somebody who was waiting to see God. Imagine if you were someone who was just wondering about God. And you hear John, you hear one of those other disciples saying, I'm just telling you, man, we saw it. It's real. It's true. It's there. God's not absent. God is not unconcerned about you. God knows you, and God is with you and for you, and God is real. Isn't that what John's saying to anyone who would hear? Now imagine if that was your own life. Imagine if that was your own heart. Imagine if that was your own spirit. Imagine if your own outlook on life were a little wobbly, and your relationship with God and your relationship with other people was just kind of not real solid. Imagine if John were here and he just said to you, I'm just telling you, it's true. God loves you. It's true. God is present. It's real. We saw it. We touched it. We heard it. We know it. There is no denying it. That's what John's saying. He goes on, he says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, our motive for writing is simply this: we want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. That had to be a wow moment. Did it not? I mean, I even kind of feel that wow moment. And I wasn't even there. I'm just hearing John tell it, and I'm just going, wow, that is true. And John's saying, you know, this God moment, this moment that we saw him in the flesh, it has changed us. And oh, the joy of it. And because of that, we want all of you to know that too. We want all of you to experience that. And if you do, wow, our joy will even, it'll go even higher. It will just double. And it's already great. I mean, what John's saying, it's not enough that we saw this. It's not enough that we know this. We want all of you to know this. We want all of you to experience this. We want all of you to have a relationship with Jesus too. Because this has changed us for the better. What we know he has done for us, we know he can do for you. This is why they were disciples for Jesus, really, right here. I mean, they were disciples because Jesus told them to go out and do this. But listen, John would have done this even without Jesus telling him. Amen? I mean, he would have made that known even without that. It wasn't that he wanted to go out and do this because it was easy work. It wasn't that he wanted to go out and make disciples because it made him feel all good and fuzzy and warm inside. No, his motive was simply this. We want this for you. We want this for you. Have you ever wanted something for someone else? You know, we have, haven't we? I mean, if we have kids, we want things for our kids, right? We want them to succeed. We want them to be happy. We want them to have good marriages. We want them to have good homes. We want them to have good careers. We want things for our kids. But you know, even if we have friends, we want them to be at peace, right? We want them to feel like a good friend. We want them to be valued. We want good things for them. But we also, I hope you want this anyway, I want them to know Jesus. How about you? I want them to know Jesus that I know. How about you? But here's the key. I can want things for them. And I can wish they have certain experiences. But what really happens is that I have to do more than just teach them. I have to show them the truth of those relationships. Agreed? Because the real thing is this. More is caught than taught. How I really learned how to fish wasn't listening to him tell me how to fish. It was watching him set the hook. It was watching him put the worm on. It was watching him be patient. It was watching him not jerk too soon until the bobber actually went under. It was caught more than it was taught. Agreed? I learned more by what I even never saw him do sometimes than by what I saw him do. Because I never saw him act out of anger. I never saw him or heard him say a really derogatory thing about anyone. So it wasn't just what I saw him do, it was also what I saw him not do. Oh, I didn't learn that lesson too well. How about some of you? Still learning on that one. You know, when we think about wanting people to know Jesus like John did, we realize it's in our relationships that we have with other people. Amen? And it's in the environment that we create around us that gives people space to discover Jesus, space to be themselves, space to be loved, space to be forgiven, space to be encouraged, space to be, just space to be. And within that relationship and within that environment that we are creating, people catch a glimpse of Jesus. Amen? They catch what Jesus has done for us and is doing for us. They catch how he has changed us. And that is more than we could ever teach them. I think of Mildred Noakes. Mildred was, and by the way, we never called her Mildred. We always called her Mrs. Noakes. Mrs. Noakes was my third, fourth, and fifth grade Sunday school teacher. And when we got promoted, she just got promoted, and she kept going with us. She wasn't a real good Sunday school teacher, but she was an excellent disciple of Jesus. Her lessons, I don't remember any of them, but I remember how she loved us, and I remember how devoted she was, how intensely devoted she was to following Jesus and wanting that for me, wanting me to know Jesus like that. I caught something from her. Do you hear me? I don't remember what she taught me, but I remember what I caught from her. Love and acceptance, how to create space, how to just be devoted to the one who loves me no matter what. I caught that from her. Sometimes behind her back, we might have called her Captain Purple because she always had a purple jumpsuit she wore. Marilyn, you would have been kindred spirit with her. But I knew what she wanted me to know. Do you hear me? Isn't that what John's saying? And John goes on to say, he says, this in essence is the message we heard from Christ, and we are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. John says, you know, there is proof in the pudding. Isn't that what we say? There's proof in the pudding. If you want your faith to be real, you have to get real in living out your faith. You can't say one thing or even say that you really believe one thing and do and act another kind of way. If we claim one thing and do another, John says we're obviously lying. And if we're not, and we're not living what we claim. If you say you believe in Jesus, that you believe in God, that God is a God of love and a God of grace, and you're following his guidance in your life, and you're speaking derogatorily about other people, not telling the truth, not acting in ways that build other people up, you're lying. You're lying to yourself, you're lying to others, and you're lying to God. It's that simple. Harsh? Yeah. John, I kind of liked your other words easier. This one's a little tougher. But John's just saying you're not who you claim to be if you're doing these things. Churches that say they have open doors, open hearts, and open minds, but then have requirements on who can come in, you're lying. Agreed? Churches that pray for God's kingdom to come upon the earth but never work for the goals of the kingdom, we're not living what we claim, if that's us. And why would anyone listen to us? Why would anyone listen to anything else we have to say if we're not who we say that we are? Now, I know we're not perfect. I look in the mirror every day. How about some of you? It ain't perfect. My bow tie is probably not straight right now. It isn't perfect, right? I get it. But there's a difference between saying, I am perfect, therefore you have to be perfect, than saying, hey, we're all in this mess together. And we're all trying to find the road to truth and the way to Jesus being in our hearts and lives together. Just one poor beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's who we are, following Jesus. If we walk the talk and our talk matches our walk, then our relationships are different, John says. We have a relationship with him and we have a shared relationship with each other. And in that relationship, God through Christ makes our relationships with each other different and makes us different because we're living in the light. Relationships make the message real. Now, if you wonder what that really kind of means, it's this. People can pretty quickly figure out whether you care about them or not. Amen? It becomes pretty evident. It becomes pretty evident who your real friends are whenever you're walking in the fire. Right? Becomes pretty evident who your real friends are when they pull you away from the fire before you walk into it. It becomes pretty evident who your real friends are when you can just be who you are in front of them. For John and the disciples and all of us who are followers of Jesus on the road to becoming disciples, we know these three characteristics about these kind of relationships. They all are relationships that are based in truth. In God's kingdom, we are called to love each other sacrificially, and that means setting aside our own comfort to love each other and to love people better. But so often we neglect to tell each other the hard things in life. Agreed? We hold back. Speaking the truth is not easy, but it will come with some consequences sometimes. But if we have relationships with one another, if people know that we genuinely care for them, genuinely love them, genuinely want this, what is best for them, then we can speak the truth in love, right? Jesus always spoke the truth no matter what. To the woman at the well, he spoke the truth. To his disciples, he told them the truth. To his antagonistic Pharisee friends, he told them the truth. They didn't really have relationship. It didn't really go well, but he spoke the truth, right? He always did that, no matter how unpleasant it was. How we speak the truth, though, you know, what we discover really matters. And Paul reminds us in the book of Ephesians, he says, you know, I want you to hear how Paul says it in Ephesians. I want to set this up. I want you to hear that he talks about speaking the truth first from a point of unity and second from a point of maturity. Now here's why. Think about this. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. Now, why I said, you know, when we say, we quote often, we are supposed to speak the truth in love, right? But here's the thing. When you were a kid and you were having a fight with somebody, you would often speak the truth to them. Amen? Did you do so from a you really love them point of view? No. You were out to win that argument at all costs. Nuclear war was an option. Right? So how you said it, what you said was kind of like, agreed? What does Paul say? Speak the truth from a point of unity. Speak the truth from a point of maturity. Not like a child, but from a point of maturity, a point of true friendship. That means we're speaking from a point of humility. I know this, and I know it might hurt you, but I want to share it with you, and I could be wrong. Oh, now that's a hard phrase to say, isn't it? I mean, just practice it. I could be wrong. Some of you stuttered. You know? But do so, speak this truth from humility, a point of love, but also speak it after you've had a time of prayer. Speak it from a point of prayer so that you are creating the right words in the right situation, in the right environment. I mean, recently I had one of those kind of encounters, and I knew that I needed to speak a word of truth to someone. I knew I needed to say something to them, and I was kind of festering on it. And what I really wanted to say at first was not really from a point of love. Okay? Just owning it. So I didn't say anything for a bit. I prayed about it. I've lost some sleep, not a lot, but I mean, I kind of wrestled with it, and I just prayed God to open up an opportunity to provide the right words, and lo and behold, a few days later, I had an encounter with the same person, and what I discovered was I had heard them from a wrong perspective. Thank heavens I hadn't spoken yet, right? Because now I was actually able to speak from a point of truth, in an environment that was safe, and from a perspective where I had been humbled. Do you hear me yet? Boy, wouldn't that be good advice for me to follow all the time? Maybe, yeah, me too. Maybe all of us, right? When we are wanting, as John says, what is best for that person, life is different. Amen? Now, here's the other two things real quick. The other one is time. Okay? If we want to disciple folks, we have to have time with them. We have to make room for them. We have to invest in them. Because in time, we create places that are safe. In time, we discover the warts and all the things about each other. In time, we are able to really know each other. And in time, they are able to see faith shine through us. You know, I realized after I got out of the house, I, as a kid, and went out on my own, I realized that my parents did argue from time to time. But they never had argued in front of us. And you might think that's really a good thing. No, it was terrible. Because what it meant was, no one taught me how to argue in love. Oh, do you hear that? Now, I'm not saying parents air all your laundry in front of your kids. Do what's appropriate. But if you don't show your kids or grandparents, you don't show your grandkids how to work through a disagreement, guess what? They are not going to know it by watching Fox News or CNN. They are not going to learn how to resolve it in a Christian manner. Agreed? Did you notice I just used both networks there, all right? This is not a one or the other. And the last thing, if you're really going to be real, love is the greatest thing. John shared what Jesus shared with us, love. If we're going to disciple folks, if we're going to do life together, if we're going to grow in our relationships with each other, then love is the ultimate thing, right? If you're a master gardener and you got the right soil and you got the right amount of water and you got the right kind of nutrients, if you don't have sunshine, you still got nothing. Agreed? If we don't have sunshine, S-O-N, sun, if we don't have sun love, we got nothing. We may live the best life, we may have the best story, we may know all the truth, but if we don't have love, we got nothing. I mean, really, the folks that we are going to disciple most and the folks that we are going to be in relationship with are the folks that we love, is it not? And isn't that really what John is saying to those folks? I want this for you because we love you. We want this for you because we care about you. So we have to be intentional about this. As I said earlier, this week I will have been a pastor for 41 years. And what was true for me 41 years ago is still true for me today. I may have gotten lost a few times along those 41 years, I'll admit that. But what I know today is I still want people to know the Jesus that I know. I want that for them because I genuinely do care about other people. And I want them to know the grace that I have known, which has been greater than I deserve. I want them to know a God who is not an angry God, but a God of love and mercy. I want them to know a truth that will set them free and help them to be who God created them to be. I want that for them. What is it that you want today? What is it that you want your life to be lived for today? If you were John and you were writing and you were to say, this is the greatest thing in my life and I want this for the people that I love, would it be Jesus? And if not, do you want him more today than you ever have before? Most gracious and holy God, we thank you for John, for his testimony of what is true and sure and pure. And we thank you for the people in our lives who have shown us, who have caught us in this kind of love and in this kind of grace. We pray, O God, that today that you make yourself known to us. Everywhere we look, that we might see you. Everywhere that we speak, we might speak you. Everywhere that we listen, that we might hear you. Everything about us, O God, we pray might be the way that we touch and feel your presence that has been made known to us in this day. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen.